If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Today, I'm thrilled to introduce you to a brand that is a true love letter to all women and today's sponsor of our show, Holistic Goddess. This brand is a sanctuary for those seeking holistic health solutions, offering a space where women can heal, grow, learn, and naturally embrace their inner goddess. They distill decades of wellness wisdom into forms that are accessible and relevant for women, emphasizing the importance of self-love as essential self-care. They're committed to producing clean, natural products with simple ingredients to support women at all ages and stages in their unique health journeys. I've personally experienced the power of their commitment when I tried the Bison Trifecta from their Naked collection. It's a potent blend of freeze-dried bison organs, heart, liver, and kidney in capsule form. And honestly, the change was almost instant. Within probably just about 3 days, my energy level soared. I was handling my hectic schedule better and skipping my usual midday crash. That's really important, you guys. This product's purity is impressive too. No vaccines, no antibiotics, no hormones, no fillers, nothing. Just packed with bioavailable nutrition that your body absorbs right away. Since I started using the Bison Trifecta consistently, I've noticed my hair and nails growing faster. And on days I forget to take my Bison Trifecta, I can immediately feel the difference. But once I take it, I'm right back to feeling this new, incredible me. It's become an essential part of my daily routine because feeling this amazing, knowing that your body is working the way it was intended to makes you never want to go back. Also, their signature collection currently offers 10 distinctive products that target a variety of women's health issues. There's sleep support gummies, joint relief, metabolism support, cognitive brain support, hair, skin, and nails gummies, and a bunch of others you should really check out. So for anyone listening who wants to experience this for themselves, use code UNDERSTOOD for 10% off Bison Trifecta. Visit holisticgoddess.com and see how it can change your routine just like it did for mine. Again, that's holisticgoddess.com. Code UNDERSTOOD, HOLISTICGODDESS.com. Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. So today's guest, Farah Abraham, rose to fame on MTV's 16 and Pregnant and Teen Mom. And we've watched her grow into an entrepreneur and reality show mainstay and more over the years. So I'm sure that you guys all know her name. If you don't, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. Her tumultuous personal life, including her struggles as a young mother, strained relationships with family members, and ventures in the adult entertainment industry, garnered significant attention from viewers and media outlets alike. But despite facing some controversy along the way, Farah transformed her notoriety into a multifaceted career. She has ventured into various entrepreneurial endeavors, wrote her memoir, My Teenage Dream Ended, and appeared in numerous reality TV shows, Celebrity Big Brother, Couples Therapy, and Teen Mom OG. She also has opened a children's store with her daughter. We get all into this in the episode. But Farah's resilience, determination, and adaptability has enabled her to build a successful career and life for herself and her daughter, Sophia. So I really enjoyed my conversation with her. I've known her a little bit here and there because we were in the same industry, not the adult industry, in the children's clothing line industry. But Allison, my producer, is here today. She thoroughly enjoyed this episode. But I know, Allison, it's not like you were a huge fan of the show or anything years ago, but you are one degree of separation from some inside information. Can you tell me what you know?
Yeah, I am one degree away. One of my friends worked at MTV and she helped develop the show 16 and Pregnant. And she was the one that kind of came up with the title because years before that, we had worked at Lifetime together. And that's when Lifetime movies were like the big deal. Everyone talked about them. And we had one that did really well starring Kirsten Dunst. And it was called 15 and Pregnant. And it did huge ratings for us. And it was like this big hit. And then years later, she went to MTV and they were developing this show. And she came up with the idea from making it like that Lifetime movie to do 16 and Pregnant. And it was a huge hit.
Huge hit. Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I mean, I know it's different than that, but 16 and Pregnant obviously is one genre. People were like, you know, I don't know that that's a universal theme that people can understand, but it was something they wanted to be on the fly, a fly on the wall and see what that was all about for sure.
Yeah. But you know what? Also, she also developed Laguna Beach. Mm. So she was very good at taking things that were happening and kind of doing a young modern version of that in an unscripted format.
Right. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, because I've known you for 20, 25 years at this point, but wasn't there a similar, it's not similar at all, but it reminds me of the time. Didn't you have a roommate that was drinking heavily and living her life and out of nowhere realized she was pregnant like 9 months in?
No.
Did I make that up?
No, but I know what you're talking about. I had a roommate that was a friend of mine and her sister realized she was pregnant, but like 8 months into being pregnant. It was like, how so crazy, because then in reality, she only felt like she was pregnant for a month. Like she had a baby in a month.
Right.
Like as opposed to knowing you're pregnant for 9 months.
Right.
She found out so much at the end of her pregnancy that by that time it was like, I only got a month left.
Wait, but how did that happen? Was she already a little
you
heavy?
You always ask me that. I know that you have a million questions. I don't really have the answer. But I mean, it's like one of those crazy TV shows, not on TLC, you know, like people who have their babies in the toilet bowl or something.
Right.
You know, it's like one of those that you're like, how the fuck did that happen? Or like a woman at a girl at a prom has a baby in a bathroom and she's right. Like, I didn't know I was pregnant.
Right. Right. That's so crazy. I do have a million questions. That's maybe an episode for another time. But anyway, all right. Well, you listened to this episode already. What did you think?
I mean, it's just so fascinating to see someone who we have seen since she was a kid. Mm. And now she has a daughter who is around the same age that she was when she started.
Right.
I love that.
So, yeah. And it's interesting. I think, you know, listen, a lot of people will not agree with the choices that she's made. Let's say, people might find it a little off-putting because it's not necessarily relatable, but it is her story. She deserves to have it. She deserves to be respected for it. And, you know, everyone has their own path. So, I really hope you guys, you know, have an open mind listening to her. And we were really excited to have a conversation with Farah Abraham. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been so long. We were just talking about the fact that we were trying to figure out where we met before. And it was because both you and I had children's stores very long time ago for our children. Mine was Wyatt Lily, named after my daughter, and yours was named after your daughter, right?
Yes, Sophia Loren. So moms are coming back together full circle. It's so good to see you. I'm so grateful to be here.
Yes, I'm so grateful that you decided to join us too, because I know you are constantly in the news and I feel like you're somebody who is misunderstood. You do a good job of staying in tune with, you know, what you want to be doing and having conversations with people to set the record straight, I think. But I really wanted to have you on because I think, you know, I was saying to somebody the other day, I don't think you get enough credit for the fact that you have been on TV more than most reality stars, doing so many different shows, living your life in front of the camera. Your daughter was born on the camera. And so, you know, you're an enigma, you know, you're a very interesting person that I don't know that people fully understand who you are. So I wanted to have a conversation with you today.
Yes. What a perfect place. I'm just so happy we could get together and yeah, let's dive in.
Right. So the first thing I do want to ask you about, because it was in the news recently, I know that a couple of years ago, you claimed you were sexually assaulted by someone here in Palm Beach, right, is where you met this guy, even though he was a former mayor in California. And there were some issues with them getting enough evidence, not just from you, but from a number of the people that were accusing him. I just want to kind of get that out of the way. How do you feel about that? And what is the status of all that?
So I actually don't pay attention to what is in the news. So I don't know exactly specifically what you just saw. And then, sorry, I'm just doing this whole 12 steps, live life present.
Okay. Do you remember accusing Dominic Fapoli of sexual assault?
So I was sexually assaulted by that person. So
yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, and then I don't know if you saw, because maybe you didn't see, but they decided to drop the case because there wasn't, you know, not because they were dropping the case because of you guys, but there just wasn't enough evidence. So the case is now closed, I guess.
So I believe you're talking about criminal investigation. So criminal investigations, they can open, they can close, like P. Diddy's just opened himself. And just because someone opens up a criminal investigation, that does not mean they're going to be charged. So I've been criminally investigated. I think more so for rape victims specifically who would hear this and who probably have had a lot of turmoil, trauma around that situation. I think what's most important for everyone, I'm just grateful that they could use me to come forward, to have 11 other women come forward, have an open investigation already open without even me knowing about it. And I was just brought into that because I did what was right and coming forward and speaking my truth. So what is most important, I think, moving forward from this is doing a civil legal case, civil litigation case. Every person, every victim has a right for civil litigation and bringing the real evidence. I don't know what criminal investigations really look for. I can only say, was the investigators doing their job right? I can only say, did someone handle the evidence properly? I can only say those things. Mm-hmm. But I have to say a lot of investigators were actually removed because they were hurting the case. It was very, very sad to see and witness as someone who is ADHD wired for justice. And I think maybe we need more ADA compliance in our criminal investigations, because there's a lot of illegal things going on in our criminal justice systems that I've been witnessing. And it's really sad. It's really sad. I've gone through a lot of criminal things, being in the public eye, going through that again on my own terms with some other situation. So for rape victims specifically, it is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It is April. And I just want to say to all the rape victims out there, live strong, live fiercely. Like my rape victim therapist told me, the best thing I could have ever done for me was just coming forward and reporting it. And the rest is out of my hands. Like, I've done what is right for me. So I can't control investigators screwing investigations up. I can't go fire or remove people, but a lot of people have already been removed. And I think every time, like we see on Netflix, our favorite criminal investigator shows, to everyone who loves watching crime shows, we see a lot of investigators who get removed. We see a lot of things start happening in a criminal investigation that never really helps the criminal investigation do its justice. So I think, again, I think our criminal investigators, I think our deputies, I think everyone who is in charge there, but could it have been done better? Probably for the whole group of people who probably will get sexually assaulted further because we have a criminal out. Like, hey, if there's other women that I met who were like, I got raped 11 years ago by this guy, and if they would have put him away, Farrah Abraham would have never gotten raped. Wow. I think those women who came before me that I didn't even know, but by me doing the right thing, I get to learn a lot about this criminal investigative, criminal judicial system that really needs to get better. But I think all the other decades, hundreds of years of women coming forward and saying, I was raped. And most of the time we have this huge criminal investigation. Someone gets a SWAT team out. Someone gets all their stuff taken away, like P. Diddy, like the rapist here in my case. And then they let it go. And then eventually they rape more people. They hurt more people. It's really sad to see as a mom. I want to protect my daughter. I want to protect other people's daughters, moms, grandmas. I'm really sad about that, hearing that. And I do know that there's a press conference this week regards to that. Mm-hmm. But that's all I can say in light of women stand strong, victims of sexual assault, men and women, kids, children, grandparents who have been assaulted. Stand strong in your own civil case, and you will have more justice for yourself than a criminal justice predicament that has a million hands in a pot and it gets very messy.
Yeah, it's actually interesting what you're saying, because I think so many people get wrapped up in the legalese of the whole thing as opposed to doing what is good for them. And you're right. I mean, the fact that you got to be part of that and report it and do what was right for you, open the door for other women, feel this bond. I know the guy has been removed and he lives in Italy now. So at least for the time being. So, you know, he is not here to hurt anyone else here. So
I'm actually not going to agree with that statement. So he is definitely in America. He is definitely probably sexually assaulting other women everywhere else. He was using wine to rape women. So I just want to say, if there's a war on women out there with alcohol, wine, wineries, I would highly be on a lookout. He was removed from the government institutions. He is still being investigated. It's like racketeering, basically, when you're using a government position, sexual assaulting people. It's also like, what's it called? Sex trafficking in a different way when we look at those things. So yeah, I would highly say when there's a sexual predator out there, also connected with murders, you definitely have to be aware of criminals everywhere. No one is safe. And I'm going to just go on that note. I'm not going to ever say to anyone, you're not safe, because I wish I could have said the same thing with a rapist and a serial predator out there, but that is not safe. Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's move on from that.
So okay, thank you.
You started out by saying you're on a 12-step mission right now, or a course. Will you explain that, of being more present? Talk about what you mean by that.
Yeah, I would love to. I happen to be in my office. Here is the 12-step principles right here. They're for everyone, kids, everyone. And it's really about honesty, surrender, belief, faith, commitment. I'm just reading it off the top here. Courage, diligence, truth, integrity, acceptance, growth, humility, brotherly love, justice, forgiveness, perseverance, vigilance, longing and need, gratitude and serenity. So that is what I am living fiercely with. And that's what helps me get through these criminal battles, what helps me get through a lot of injustices. And I'm not going to seek substances or other things like I used to for all these 12 principles that have helped me flourish through a lot of court proceedings. So I am just so happy that I can be in this place right now.
So are you completely sober at the moment? Is that something that you're...
Oh, yes. I'm a sober queen. And, you know, I just was on a vacation and I saw a lot of moms, you know, having alcohol at 8 a.m. in the morning. And I want to just say, I used to be not knowing how to deal with all the stressors. I used to be like, how can I deal with family? How can I deal with all this stuff? It's so heavy. I don't know what to do. And I really found my happiness when I got to go to a trauma center after being assaulted and spending 28 days there with the world shut off, work shut off, social media shut off, not worrying about work. And I got to see, you know, where we gaslight people, our highest forms of manipulation, what I was allowing, what I don't need anymore. So these 12-step principles are such a core of, hey, let me get back to the good stuff and let me stay there.
Right. Well, that is a really good place to be. I think it's really hard to get there for a lot of people.
Everyone can.
Yes. No, I do agree. I do agree, but it takes some work. So I want to, you know, obviously most people know you from your childhood and from being on these shows that we remember way back when. So
yes,
I just want to
pregnant teen yes, mom, big yes, brother.
So I want to go back for a second and just talk about how did you even get cast? Like, who were you before you became the Farrah that we know?
Yeah. So I was Farrah Abraham from Council Bluffs, Iowa, Omaha, Nebraska, right there. There's those tri-cities around there, Midwest. And I was in a modeling and acting kind of course for 6 months. And I became pregnant during that. And my coach, who I just said, hey, this unfortunate situation, you know, everyone around me acts like I'm an embarrassment. I've ruined my life, even though I was religiously taking birth control, hormonal birth control, and I became pregnant. So my coach was like, hey, there are castings. Let me help you find castings for this. It's going to be okay. And she was kind of the light in all the dark, of fixed thinking. And she just had like this total positive vibe. And so there was three opportunities. And one was MTV's 16 and Pregnant casting. So I applied to it. I said, this is my situation. These are my beliefs. And the reason why, if anyone got to see our 16 and Pregnant casting tapes, the reason why the people got chosen or casted is because they believed that they could overcome any challenge and still rise above and be a great parent. And that is why I was casted. And still to this day, in any situation, I believe that I can rise above any challenge and I can still be my best person and I can still succeed. So I really think that is what sets apart anyone and makes a star.
Are you yearning for your summer body glow? Me too. And in the meantime, try Oak Essentials. I'm so excited to share my new favorite skincare brand with you, you guys. Oak Essentials was founded in 2021 by the same team behind Jenny Kane, which we also love. They're known for their simple approach to self-care with foundational skincare staples that are high quality, luxurious products that really work, especially if you're trying to achieve that natural, no makeup look. And now is the perfect time to do a little spring cleaning. Get yourself some new products. You deserve it. Or with Mother's Day right around the corner, Oak Essentials is also the perfect gift. So I've been using Oak Essentials for 2 weeks now, and I want to tell you guys about it because I'm absolutely loving it. I've taken out everything else from my bathroom for this time of year, especially because it's like perfect. It hydrates you and you feel like you don't have to wear makeup. Obviously, if you have some discoloration, maybe you want to put on foundation, but it is so simple, yet it totally refreshes your skin and gives you this dewy look. So I've been using the Moisture Rich Balm. You have to try it. It is my absolute favorite. I'm actually almost through it because I use it so much. I don't just use it on my face. I use it everywhere. I use it under my makeup and I also use it overnight. It keeps me hydrated without being heavy or greasy. I also use the Perfecting Body Scrub. It hydrates as it exfoliates. Everything is made from sea buckthorn fruit oil. It's not heavy or greasy. It's organic seed butter, organic coconut oil. It's a great source of vitamin C and E and unsaturated fatty acids, antioxidants, and it helps support collagen production. Plus, it's rich in beta carotene, which helps slow down the aging process. So it does not only feel good, but it does good. And if you're someone that loves body oil like I do, the Dew Body Oil is going to change your whole getting ready routine. It's lightweight and absorbs instantly, so you can put it on and not worry about getting it on your clothes or your furniture. And it does not smell bad. Sometimes that makes it hard to want to use this kind of product, but it smells absolutely amazing. So if you want to give Oak Essentials a try, you can buy the Moisture Rich Balm on its own or as part of one of their best-selling bundles, which includes the Moisture Rich Balm, Ritual Oil, Cleansing Balm, Balancing Mist, and Restorative Mask. So treat yourself or someone else. My followers will get 15% off their first order when they use code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. That's 15% off plus a gift with your first order at OAKESSENTIALS.com, promo code UNDERSTOOD. Go ahead and treat yourself. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it. So just let's stay on that for 1 second, though, about you being 16 and pregnant, because first of all, you know, I think we all remember how we were when we were younger. I think 16-year-olds now are much more mature than when I was, and I'm not sure about when you were, but, you know, we were kids, like we were idiots, you know? And so I can't imagine what would happen if I got pregnant. And I had, my family definitely would not support me. My friends, I would just get tossed out of anything. At that point, I had been sent to boarding school. So like, you know, my life was totally different than yours. But explain to me, in your town, in your, within your family, was this something like that you had seen before? Was your, were your parents young parents? Like explain if that was, if this was completely out of the blue and it was something so taboo, or if it was something that wasn't that, I know you said it was a little embarrassing for everybody or whatever the word was you used, but just explain the mentality of everyone around you when you had to say you were pregnant.
So I think that's a great point. The mentality of everyone around me when I was 16 and pregnant was shame, reject, blame. That's the mentality of when you hear someone is a teen who is pregnant. I've had my mom threaten to kick me out if I ever got pregnant. It was definitely the last thing on my mind to get pregnant, especially when I'm told, you know, as a woman, as a teen, it, to be responsible, you know, religiously take birth control. Well, what happens when, as we know, I'm just saying, I just got done with a TED talk on this topic of who I was and what we're raised around in our mentalities. And it's always send a girl off to boarding school. She gets kicked out of Catholic school, like my other friends that I wrote in my New York Times bestselling book, My Teenage Dream Ended. She got kicked out of school, but yet her, the baby daddy got to stay in Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And I just want to focus on this. We live in a country that science isn't working. Our contraception isn't working. We blame the young female who is not taught relationship attachment styles. We blame someone who does not know science because we haven't educated them in our public educational systems or private or whatever. How much ever you pay for school or how much you don't pay. I also had to take hundreds of thousands of dollars of courses to be the woman who I am today, because that wasn't systemically in my family's line or generation. There was no young parents actually in my generation. Mm. So when I say I see our contraception, our sexual health, our education programs failing from grade school, right? You have grade school kids talking about sex. They have no idea what's going on. They don't know the laws in the United States. We are now at this current time, 2024, we are now having Plan A shots for men, not hormonal, so they can not, it basically clogs the artery of sperm to hit the egg. And 16-year-olds, I love today's 16-year-old men who are saying, hey, I want to be equally held accountable. I want that Plan A shot so that a woman doesn't have to go screw up her body, whether it's fat or infertility problems, all these problems that we have. I had to go see a nutritionist. My contraception created cancer. I had cervical cancer from it. My contraception almost killed me, literally all the way to my brain. I had many emergency removals of birth control or all these issues, cysts. And I wasn't the only girl. So I want to say today's teens, I want to thank you for just pushing the edge of why am I 16 and I can't have opportunities to have non-hormonal contraception, which equals a playing field for men and women, sexually active teens to be included rather than excluded. But that's what we saw in my age group. You had to ask your parent for a Plan A or a Plan B pill, okay? Like now you walk in and you just go get it. Where is equality? I hope just by hearing this out loud, how we were never included in equality, but shame, rejected, and blamed the abuse of it. And I think today, everyone deserves, from if it was by pressure or by choice, if you're sexually active, it's human nature. Take your religion out of it. We're all humans. We're all mammals. It is natural to be masturbating, thinking of sex at this age. And if you're not educated, if you don't know the right, proper way of doing something and enjoying yourself and feeling good, well, then those things can eventually lead to criminal activity like sexual assaults that we see in high schools. So I just want everyone to know, we naturally live a fear-based sex life like I did. Oh my God, I fear getting pregnant. I fear being stuck with someone. I have all these fears around sex. But now I'm living a fearless sex life today. It only took, what, 16 years? And now I have basically a 16-year-old, and she gets the opportunity of all this knowledge and education that I have so that she can be happy in her sex life, have no fears in her sex life, and be set up. So congratulations to these amazing teams that we have right now, because I love seeing Google searches that are like, hey, where's this non-hormonal thing? Where is me as a teen boy who can protect other girls? I am so tired of seeing young teen women being like basically abused, beat up, ran through the mud, rejected, shamed, blamed. Like, we have all these amazing nonprofits lifting up these young women and men. And I really hope to see that. I know Upstream USA, check them out. They really uplift teens and help you get non-hormonal contraception at any age. And they're really working hard for that. So check that out.
So I think it's important, everything that you're saying, but I know you do get a lot of criticism and critics online because of, you know, you being so open about your sexuality in the past and even now, and the fact that you have a daughter that is kind of still growing up in front of the camera, and you let her do a lot of things that maybe a lot of parents, let's just say, don't agree with. You know, each person has their own reason for, you know, trolling some other parent online, and sometimes that's their own issue, and sometimes it's, you know, completely about them just being, you know, wanting to judge someone else's parenting skills. So, you know, now that you bring this up, I was going to bring it up later, but I do want to talk about it. So What do you think about, well, obviously you don't have problems with the way you raise your daughter, obviously, but what do you think about the haters or the people that have criticism for you all the time? Like, how do you want to set that record straight so people understand why you allow the things you allow, let's say?
I allow the things I allow because I have read parenting books, because I listen to parenting podcasts, because I craved having that amazing, supportive, seen, heard kind of parenting child dynamic growing up that I did not have. I didn't know what mental health was. I didn't know I had an ADA compliant disability until I was 28. Wow. I deserved a lot of different things and support. And I think all children do. And so I bring that into my parenting and child dynamic. I know what good parenting is, and I've educated, I read, I took the time to know that. So if anyone disagrees with letting my child be seen, supported, heard, expressing herself in a healthy way, well, then maybe we should have like a assessment check, because I think I only flourish, you know, my child is only flourishing, and she has amazing friendships. She has an amazing like boyfriend crush who flies in to see her. She's homeschooled. We make the necessary adjustments so that we are living without anxiety, resentments. We have time management. We're just blessed. We're positive. We go to church. And I just have to say, like, we do what helps us stay balanced. And I think a lot of people run, go, 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 yeah. judge. And I think I wanted to just change those patterns. I've already had enough of that in my life, and it's time for something new. So maybe just, you know, to anyone who hears, like, you know, I had to go into the principal's office because someone got in a fight. I hear that so much from my moms who come up to me every week. All my kids are getting in fights at public school, da, da, da. I took that away from my family and my parenting dynamic so she could be happy. And so do whatever you need to do that's best for you. But I know this is what's calm. This is what's flourishing. This is what's helping us be happy.
Yeah. I've always wondered about homeschooling, and this is not, I'm not saying this out of being judgmental. I definitely want to know, like, do you homeschool a child because in your circumstance, you felt like because of your fame, you couldn't put her in school and she would be treated fairly? Or is it because you just thought the education wasn't going to be as good? She could get into these fights you're talking about? Or, like, were you concerned about the fact that she wouldn't have all these you know, kid relationships and be able to fend for herself in that environment? Like, explain the reasoning to me.
So my daughter took over in a regular public school setting. My daughter took over. I took over. I'd walk in, kids would just like come run to me. They loved me. And you'll see a lot of other parents have jealousy, again, just like gaslighting. I own like 3 stores in the community at the time. I supported the police station, the football teams, whatever. It was like I was Jesus to those kids. And I have to say, when you see that you are taking over the element of a school system, your kid is just the epitome of attention to everyone, and no one can act normal. Like, look, I was raised without being famous. And I had lots of people saying to me, you're going to be famous growing up. I had all the attention growing up still, and I still wasn't on TV. But I do know what it's like to have a real, authentic teaching environment and an educational environment. And that's not what was being given to my child. So if that's not what she's getting, then she doesn't need to be there. And I think that's why I chose online schooling for me, or at-home schooling for me. Again, she has lots of at-home schooling friends. Her boyfriend's online schooled, at-home schooled. And I have to say, his mom, you know, has her reasons as well. She had four other kids in public school, and she was like, you know, this is what's best for this child. So everybody has their own story of why they do online at home schooling, just like I have my reasons for doing online at home, my master's program I'm in right now. So whatever works for your child, please do what's best for them and listen to them, because it makes a world of difference.
So we talked about the fact that you've, especially your childhood, most of your teen years were spent on camera. Do you have any regrets about that? Or do you love the fact that, you know, you have all of this treasured, you know, that you can look back and look at?
I don't regret anything that's happened to me in my life, even my worst days to my happiest moments. So I know whatever's a part of my journey is meant to be there. So I was, you know, there's a whole lot of surprises that happen in your 20s. 20s is a rough spot for anyone. Mm-hmm. And I think we can help this next generation to, you know, learn more in their teens to avoid some of those ups and downs in their 20s.
There was a whole talk about reality reckoning a few months ago, and it's kind of fizzling out right now. But I'm just curious if you felt like they maybe not forced you guys to do things, but did they kind of push you guys in a direction to be more dramatic? Or was there, you know, did you feel like what you were seeing on camera was exactly what was happening in real life?
There's so many different kinds of reality television shows. So I do want to just say that up front. Reality is not created equal. And I think we all have to just pay attention to something, because I do have a entertainment degree now. I did have a very, you know, conflicted outlook of reality television. It wouldn't be the girl you're speaking to today. Mm. And in 2019, when I got my entertainment business degree and I got wrongfully fired from my television show for the third time, I believe, I really wanted to know what is right, what is wrong, where is the real teaching of values and authentically doing something in reality television. And I got that. From that degree, I got to see what authentic reality television should be, should conduct itself like, should have like professional demeanors, all those things. I got that. Mm-hmm. Did I receive that in my environment at all? Being casted at 16 and being in something through my mid-20s? I would say not. I would definitely say not. But I want to just remind everyone, we were typecasted because other people who do know what do know. Psychology, mental health, they're giving us psychological evaluations, even when I don't know myself. Mm-hmm. Those people are older. They know how to find an undereducated Midwest or middle of nowhere family who believes in, you know, like, we're going to shame, blame, and reject our teen child. We haven't even set them up to be successful. They don't know about finances. They don't know like contraception laws and restrictions, but we know how to take every accountability off of us and blame our child. You best believe someone knows how to find that in casting. Same way for like Jersey Shore. We know how to typecast someone who came from alcoholic substance abuse backgrounds. And we know how to show this on a Jersey Shore where we let them drink and, you know, enable just all of those behaviors that will actually lead to not a successful life. Mm-hmm. So everyone and every kind of show that you're seeing, how might they have been typecasted? I know Housewives were just being very, very transparent, where they felt like they were promised fame and all these things for becoming alcoholics, but they lost their friends. Some people died, of course, with substance abuse issues. So and crime and all these other things, sadly. So when I take accountability for, hey, maybe I was typecasted, predatored on, right? And I didn't understand entertainment. No one wanted to tell me what a director was, this was, that was. I had to go buy, waste my time and get a degree for that. Mm. So I know what was proper. So would I conduct entertainment business like that to any other generation? No. And that's why I got a degree. That's why I can take part in that. That's why I can help set new generational curses off of the next reality television people. But I think it's kind of sad that most of our reality television is based off of substance abuse, lack of education. And I hope reality TV can, I don't know, elevate.
Okay. You said you were wrongfully fired. What were you fired for?
So I think, I don't even know what year it was. It's been so long. But I was wrongfully fired because they claimed adult behavior. So I don't know. We see clips, our last remaining clips of someone asking me what I could do differently. And I said to the executive producer, Morgan, that they can handle this better. And they didn't have any solution as the adults that they are and the bosses that they are, other than firing someone for a third time.
I'm confused though. Are you talking about the fact that you were starring in adult entertainment and they didn't like that? Is that what you mean by that?
So no, this is because I was doing a celebrity promotion on a adult website and just hosting it live. They were kicking off their company, their business. Like I work with thousands of brands, promotions, businesses, adult or for everyone, companies. And so they just wanted to restrict that after a contract was signed. And it was not fair to me being put in that business situation or any situation. And so I had to move forward with what was contracted, and they ended up paying a price for wrongfully firing someone.
Right. Okay. What was your best and worst experience in reality TV? You've done a number of them, not just, you know, the 16 and pregnant and the teen mom.
Wow. I would say my best experience for reality television anyway, my best experience was on Celebrity Big Brother, and that was at the UK versus USA. I don't know, it was titled UK versus USA that year. And you had all of the biggest stars from America with me. And we had some huge stars for UK. And the reason why I say that was the best experience for me, because that was the height of manipulation. So I can understand how manipulated I had been in reality TV, because the Farrah now would not act out of just reaction. I'm like a Farrah now who's like, wow, I know how to process. I have the words. I'm not just focused on regrets. I'm focused on what is the learning lesson. So I love that I could see that. When I came back to America from that, I was just, my eyes were opened and I just felt very strong from that. So I love that.
Who were some of the cast members from America you had with you?
There's Daniel Baldwin, Batman Scoop the Rapper. We had Jenna Jameson, and I don't know any, I forgot the others right now, but there was some.
Was that the one that Janice Dickinson was on with you?
Oh, Janice Dickinson was on there. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember there was some drama there. I also was on Celebrity Rehab and Janice was my roommate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there was a point in the show where I actually leave for 24 hours because of an altercation I had with Janice. So I know Janice very well.
Yeah.
How was your interaction with her?
I mean, I just had fun. You know, some people have their limits. Again, ADA compliancy in her generation probably wasn't there. She didn't have the support she needed to know who she was and how to best handle herself. But I think, wow, now we have that. And any females in any generation take advantage of it. So God bless, you know, God bless them all.
Okay. And so then what was your worst experience, do you think, in reality TV?
Yeah, I think my worst experience, I don't know if it was worth like, oh my God, it's so bad. I think it's sad. I think my saddest experience, I don't know what's going on in here. I think my saddest experience that I witnessed is adults, I guess, wrongfully firing another adult who has literally sacrificed her life, her child's life, my parents' lives, for a success of the show. And I think I want to work with better business people And that's what I took out of that learning lesson. You know, if someone wants to ruin a whole franchise, ruin their own ratings or their own pocket, and they don't know how to better handle themselves in business and conduct themselves, but wrongfully fire and have ego trips. That was an eye-opening experience of, wow, I feel so sad for these people. And I was just like, I really hope I will always find better business people to work with, because that's what's made me millions, not being broke-minded and firing people. So I really, you know, that was a sad, worst moment for me, and believing so much in executive producers. And I thought like they could go to the sky's the limit with this. And then they just self-sabotage themselves and everyone else. And that was a learning curve. So that was a worst day.
Okay. So I mean, I feel like a lot of people would want to know about then how you got into the adult entertainment industry. I'm curious if it was something that you were like, listen, this is how people perceive me. And so I'm going to go with it. Or if you're like, wait a minute, this is a total money-making experience. And that's why I'm going to go with it. And I'm a hustler in the best sense of the word, and I'm supporting my family. And so I'm making these choices. I mean, I know you got a lot of, just like anyone, I think, that would join into the adult entertainment business that didn't come from that. And they've seen you as a kid, right? So I'm just curious how you got into that business and how that was for you.
So I have to say, my life, my celebrity, and having poor people around me, like bad choices, bad influences around me at that time, led me to adult entertainment crossing my path and leading me to, I think, like 3 AVN awards and success without trying, with ever having that goal. And I know that adult entertainment stars till this day dislike me because I am strictly focused on being the best Farah I can be, not being the best adult entertainment star. So there's a big difference between awesome friends of mine who are adult entertainment entertainers who have chosen that as a career. And then there's Farah Abraham, who is a celebrity who knows how to license products for females and males, and, you know, try to find joy in a lot of darkness, which a lot of people bring a lot of darkness and negativity into adult entertainment. And honestly, I just didn't want to own that in my story of being an adult woman, having, you know, living my own sex life fearlessly, because I deserve that. And I had to go to like a sex trauma therapist because there was so much hatred and darkness around sexuality. And I think that's very important for others to hear in my story of learning that you can be yourself, you can be a star, and there will always be bad people attracted to you. Till this day, I still have, right now, 2024, I have other people suing me just because I'm a star. And so that equals male adult entertainers who definitely want to attach themselves to me. That leads to managers who used to work in adult entertainment who are booking everyday large celebrities on TV. So I think most people need to recognize that adult entertainment is everywhere around mainstream entertainment. So when people ask me, oh, how did you get into adult entertainment? I always have to just acknowledge that a lot of people do not understand that there is adult entertainment, film crew, managers, everyone else around regular stars every day. And you have to really work very hard to not have those bad influences around you. I, again, was like on antidepressants. I was going through therapy. I lost the love of my life. There's a lot of hard stuff. I also had face dysmorphia at the time. So my self-esteem was shot so down at that time of the sex tape that was out. And whatever was released past whatever, I gave up the majority of just controlling that because I actually had like a mental breakdown. So Vivid is the sole controller of those things. And I think for not knowing business, not knowing any of that, not wanting any of that, that's how I handled something. And I'm not saying that's the best way to handle anything in business, but I handled that differently today, of course.
Okay. That's an interesting answer. I didn't expect that, actually. So I'm glad to hear that from you. Would you be doing another adult film in the future, do you think?
No, I mean, I have my own personal, you know, sex tapes. I enjoy being fearless in my sex life. And I actually hope to encourage everyone else. You be fearless in your sex life. You don't shame yourselves. You love yourself. You love your body. And you have the best relationships ever because you deserve it. So I am so blessed to be sexually happy today, sexually empowered, and know who I am. So I just, there's no shame in your sex game. No.
Okay. You're a single parent, obviously. What are you most proud of when it comes to your relationship with Sophia?
Yes. What am I most proud of in my parenting journey? Wow. I am so proud of my daughter recently for turning 15 and just knowing all about relationship styles, attachment styles, health as well. The education on that is everything. I'm proud of her for being her own independent self and driving her success and leading her own path right now. And also financially understanding finances and growing that for herself. So there is so much I am grateful for, from all the littlest moments of just being tired and like trying to be breastfeeding when she was first born, to the moments now where we get to go out and just totally have peace and have good times. And it's almost like we're friends sometimes. And I am just so grateful for her being educated and having balance and flourishing. So as a mom, I'm grateful for everything.
God. I'm curious. And I think a lot of people would be curious, based on your own personal experience, are you saying things to her like, do not get pregnant at 16? Or are you like, if you do, you know, you're going to be fine? Like, how do you deal with what you went through versus what you want to see, you know, her learn from that?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely just don't give those ultimatums, right? Life's not about this answer or the opposite bipolar answer. That's extreme. That's extremism. But what you do is you give the why. So we're ADA compliant. So that means we have like American Association of Disabilities recognized as laws, and we have to give the why for things. So a lot of us don't ever do that for our teens and don't care about disabilities. So this looks like this. So Sophia, is it rationale, or it could be to your child, there's a rationale to us that we would become sexually active when we don't know how to run a bank account, when we don't have a car, when we don't have like a 200K and up job, to think of all these things that might stress you out or have fear during your sex life? Do we have like a real contraception that works? Did someone have a vasectomy? Right? So why would we scare ourselves, fear ourselves, and actually like screw up our sexual health and wellness within and jump to something that we don't have the infrastructure for? So why would we do that when we've laid out what we have? We can journal about this. We can draw a manifesto board about this. Mm-hmm. And does this make sense? Does this look healthy? Does this not look healthy? What the reasoning? Why would we go to this? Our hormones, our happiness, like, what does healthy masturbation look like? What does healthy going out with the girls look like? What's a healthy date look like? And what does not a healthy date look like? I think I have, I had a therapist. I have this book right here. I had a therapist, sorry guys. And she said for Sophia to read, I actually give Sophia success coaches, ADHD coaches, just therapy coaches. But she said, Love or Addiction, The Power and Peril of Teen Sex and Romance. It came with a CD. So Sophia has her journals and her books, like literally right here and organized. And I feel like showing the why and laying out things is more important than don't get pregnant at 16. I've been pregnant, da, 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 da. I mean, I could brag and have you read my sad story and her dad died when I was pregnant. I could do all that. And shout out to all the kids who use my story for their like school projects. I love you. But I also think it's just really necessary for you to go on your journey of education and spend time, stop running around to playgrounds and being all into what she said he's doing, these things, and get to you, your inner child, your happy self, your developing self as a teen, and your ever-changing body through your teens to your 20s. It's super important to get that right now. So Sophia's on a good path.
Okay. You're always on the gossip sites. I'm curious what you think people get wrong about you.
I don't know. There's so much to get wrong about me, you know, from like my feelings of my assaults, my, you know, criminal investigations, my parenting, who I actually even am. And I think like that's totally okay that no one needs to even know who I am, honestly. I spearhead what I want to do. Like, so for my next shows, like when I show up 100% authentically Farrah Abraham. Mm-hmm. And when I take breaks, I enjoy them. And I just really don't, you know, I don't need to control everyone. It's not for me to control your thoughts.
Right. Before we get into what you're working on, I want to ask you, you know, a lot of your former castmates are on a lot of gossip sites, especially recently. Do you keep in touch with those girls? Do you follow their drama? You know, like I'm curious about Janelle Evans and, you know, this recent stuff with her ex or husband or whatever he is. Do you follow that? Do you care about that?
You know, I am brought in sometimes, like if TMZ is like, hey, Farrah, we would love a comment. Could you just please comment for us? I think they kind of know that I kind of want to just get away from the toxicity and the lack of discipline as a parent. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I send so much love and light. I really hope to see all of these amazing women who are on Teen Mom, whether it was with me or after me. I really hope to see them succeed in their mental health, their family goals, their balance, their discipline, so that they can be the best them that they want to be, because I know it's possible. And it really makes me sad to see them go through abuse, hurt, loss of a child, all of these horrible things. And I just wish them the best in their family. So no, drama, reading anything of that doesn't serve me wishing them the best. So I stay away from that.
Got it. But do you keep in touch with them? Like, are you guys texting each other back and forth about your lives, or you have a whole new set of friends?
So I had to do a clean cut leaving the show. And I also, leaving my trauma program, they also cut out a lot of people. So I actually haven't talked to my parents in 2 years from leaving the trauma center. So I am doing what is best for my psychotherapist's guidance and everybody else who's living by the 12 steps. Mm-hmm. So I am going very hard and fearless with that. And again, I just send my love and light to people. It's out of just being healthy and balanced. So yes.
I understand that. So who would you say is someone that you can lean on then, if you're not talking to your parents and you've really cleaned house? Is there a person that is in your life right now that you feel like you're closest to?
You know, this might sound just totally bizarre to you, but I lean on my higher power, which is God, Jesus. You know, I love that. That is all that I need in life. A lot of people think that's scary, not a safe place. They only believe in themselves. But I've actually seen just with others at the trauma center that nothing else works. So I know what works. I know what's been helping me just increase profits, increase friends, increase good people, happiness for my child. I'm in a loving and amazing relationship with a man that I've probably dreamed of having for over a decade. Mm-hmm. And I am just very thrilled to see that it actually works. So that's who I have a relationship with.
How have you been religious your whole life, or is this something you found during this trauma work?
So I think I've been spiritual my whole life. I actually was so uneducated. I didn't know the difference between religion and spirituality when I went into the center. Mm-hmm. It was very convoluted and confusing growing up. If anyone watched my journey, you saw, you know, my mom hit me and call me Antichrist often and 16 and pregnant and Teen Mom. So I just know, like, when you are raised with a mother who, you know, has some God complex, it really rips you away from like being connected to a higher power, like a God. And so in spite of all of that negativity, I figured out what that was and I became closer to that. And I love that so much.
Wow. Are your parents close to Sophia, or they don't speak to her either?
Sophia's decided to not speak to many of her grandparents, not only mine, but her dad's. And she does have a great relationship that she wants still to be open with her grandfather on her dad's side. So that's great.
Okay. What 5 words would you use to describe yourself in helping people understand who you are?
I almost feel like just looking on the 12 steps, because that's, you know, that's my image of who I am.
Good. So, whatever you think.
You know, I guess 5 words. I mean, there's a lot of words I've heard. now, but I think I would say 5 words that describe me. I really have gratitude. So I have a lot of gratefulness. I would say humility, because I love serving people and being with people. Courage, disciplined. And I just really like to remind myself of surrender to whatever's going on and like lose, I don't need to control it. So I don't know if those 5 words work, but that's what I would grab right now.
Right. You know, it's interesting listening to you, because a lot of people, I would say, if they got pregnant in their teen years, that would derail them. But I think something that's apparent with you is that you've taken every opportunity to, it, the course may have changed, but you've tried to become your best version of yourself in each path you took. And correct me if I'm wrong. So I don't know if you personally feel like there have been things that have derailed you, or if you feel like they've just been opportunities to prove yourself or to learn something new and be the best at that path. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I love that. I would definitely say the universe is always going to send a test. Like, are you going to succumb to mediocrity? Are you going to have only these friends? Are you going to want to fit into this? Will you agree to only be paid this price, right, for something and work? And when you say no, 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 and you go find a new trail to blaze, the universe finally recognizes and realizes this. And you're saying, universe, this is what I deserve. This is what I want. And then you just get a flood of what you've always wanted. Mm-hmm. And I think course correcting yourself like that is so beautiful, so strong, and nothing's going to get in your way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Talk about your relationship a little bit, because I know you just mentioned it. And also I saw that there were some people that talked about a recent post you made about getting your boyfriend a vasectomy. So can you clear up a couple rumors? First of all, did you meet him on OnlyFans?
Yes. So I have my celebrity OnlyFans, and I hopefully try to keep that as positive as possible. And I ended up meeting an amazing man. I used my, I did this course called Finding the Guardian of Your Soul. And it really shows you just kind of like a protocol for dating, no matter where you're dating. And so he, no matter where I was dating, and talking and getting to know a person after 2 years, and, you know, everyone started seeing me changing, right? Of how I talk, of how I changed because of all these courses I go through. And so he asked to fly in and go on a date. And I happened to be open for a date then. And so we have, literally, we were laughing because today is an eclipse day. And we initially met on like in person, an eclipse day. And so we kind of just love this whole eclipse thing. But anyways, so he is doing very well. And he is just elevating my relationship, our relationship together, and elevating me as a person in a wonderful relationship. And
do you guys live in the same city now? You said that he had to fly in.
So yeah, he did fly in. He was not living here. So he has other homes and other properties in different states and areas, but he also has a home, in Austin where I'm at. And okay. So, yeah. So ladies, there's no restriction of where you live or what country or this or that. I'll tell you that. There are good men out there. And there are men who want to seriously grow a relationship with you. He buys me relationship books that we read together, and we're always, you know, just making each other better. And I think I've always yearned for that and deserve that.
And you've kept his identity private. Do you think you'll ever, you know, put him on your Instagram where people can see who he is?
You know, we signed NDAs, and we have kind of like a whole actual, like a relationship contract that we update and amend often. And I think what I learned in my Guardian of Your Soul course with Lisa Shield is everything is best private. And she, you know, they have tested me on this tried and true way. And all of my relationships that have ever been public were in ruin. Were like ripped apart, men turned horrible, made stuff up, you know, sold stories on the news. And I think for me, you can't keep doing the same patterns and thinking you're going to end up great. Mm-hmm. And so this is a new pattern that definitely works. It works for other married couples who are my mentors. So yeah, for now, I don't really think there's a need to have a person who is so successful as well be in the public eye and, take on all the toxicity that tries to ruin my relationships. I'm just flourishing in the greatness. So yeah, no.
And you said that, he was someone that you've been kind of dreaming up for the last decade. Can you just name some qualities that you like in him or that make it work?
Oh my gosh. Yes, of course. And also we do a manifest journal and a mood board and everything in this course. And I have to say, I continued my relationship journal and I'm like, what's the best day ever when we write these things out? And we went to Grand Cayman Island and at the Ritz and had this amazing experience that he surprised me with. And so when you just focus on all these great things, it just happens. But some of the things that my top five, it's called the Michelangelo effect, ladies, if you're journaling about this, and men, you should do it too. So your top five, I wanted someone who was done with their inner child work, like I had done for my trauma center. I needed that. I needed someone who no longer had mom or dad issues, trauma bonds, because I worked through mine. I wanted someone who was independent in their own right, like I am. I wanted someone who was family friendly, maybe did not want kids of their own, but was open to me, being so close to my child. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted someone who had the freedom to work wherever they could. So that was an equal with me. And there was another top five before this, and it was talking about self-esteem and this and that. But every year now I'm doing a top five of my person and just elevating my boyfriend. So I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, wives, have a relationship journal. And I have other girlfriends who do this. I have this whole group that I met through this thing, and sky's the limit. It's beautiful.
Well, it's interesting because your qualities are much different than most girls would put on it. Some girls would put height or, status, financial status that this guy has, or, location, So I think actually what you just said is really opening up the spectrum of what people should be looking for in a partner, as opposed to these things that really limit who you're going to be with and superficial things,
Yeah. But you know what? You can still include those things. But I tell you, once you just have a top five and a base, and you kind of have all these other things that you're dreaming up and writing down, it is crazy what is attracted. It is crazy what just comes at you. I'll be sitting at dinner alone and there's a billionaire who just wants to sit with me, and I never put money down. Mm-hmm. And I just know when you're attracting goodness and graciousness, you attract better friends. You attract better. It's just been so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Talk to me about your upcoming projects, because I know you are a renaissance woman. You always are doing new things, mm-hmm. in different spaces. So tell everybody what you're working on.
Okay. Well, I can't give away two shows, but there are going to be some amazing two shows. One is competition. One is strictly about beauty. Everyone knows that I definitely believe in, aesthetics, plastic surgery, those things, upkeep, just health, wellness, and upkeep. And
are these shows you're creating, or these shows that are in existence that you're going
to be? These are shows that are in existence, some brand new seasons for America. And so those are the ones I'm most excited about. I do know that so many fans have been.
I'm predicting you're going to be on Traders or something.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that one is, but I think you'll be.
What? What Traders is? Mm-hmm. Oh God, you gotta watch
it. I'll go watch it for sure. I love that. But a lot of people have been bringing up House of Villains for me. And oddly, that just was not working out. But I have to say, there are better reality shows coming up, and I legally cannot say anything. But I also think, something that is on my profiles is hopefully with all these legal things moving on, that's sad, but true. I just didn't feel I was comfortable going on comedy tours or hosting anything when I knew people could predator stop me and kind of just show up with legal documents. And I think I've had to take that so seriously in my life journey right now. But when I think I look forward to the night when I'm finally doing comedy stuff, whether it's a Farrah Abraham roast with all of your favorite stars and all the fun stuff, I really look forward to just joking around and having fun and making light of this amazing wild life of parenthood that I've been having. And so I can't wait to laugh with everyone in comedy. And again, like the legal situation that you brought up, some things are just progressing however they progress, and some things take time. And I just really wanted to allow that so I could have some peace and not be like upset. But yeah, and
comedy tour is on hold, is what you're saying.
So I put a lot of things on hold just because I had people targeting me, not only for a sexual assault thing, but also because I was also viciously attacked. And so I needed to do that trauma work, and they asked a 2-year like leave of a lot of work so I could focus on clearing the slate. And it really is working out, and I'm just like excited to laugh and, you know, be strong again. So I can't wait. And I hope Sophia gets to come on comedy tours with me and we all get to enjoy and laugh together. So I think that's probably like my biggest thing amongst like other scripted works that I've been working on in my portfolio. We have reality shows that are now, we have comedy stuff that hopefully is now. And so it's really cool.
Right. So do you have an idea of a time frame when people, because I know that was something that people were like excited.
You know what? I have to say, we recorded a show a year ago that I believe is so amazingly like this interview, but awesome, especially for like entertainment, women in entertainment. You get to see my childhood, how I was raised, what happened. Mm-hmm. And that was on A&E. So I have to say, I would love to tell you dates, but I don't control certain things when I'm only talent. But for production standpoint, I would definitely say keep your eyes looped out for A&E. They have a beautiful, beautiful, strong show coming out that I was a part of. And then the other ones you will be hearing about, and they will have some of your biggest female stars on them. I'm so excited.
Okay, great. Well, I'm excited for you. Tell people where they can find you now if they want to reach out to you, offer you business deals, learn from you.
Yeah, always check me out on farahabraham.com. All the social media is YouTube fun. If TikTok's still around, we have some fun TikToks always, and I like to have fun with everyone. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to these private, more subscription-based things. So it's more like good stuff only. So yes. Passes.com, or other people love using Patreon. So check us out. And we always like to post our dailies, have one-on-ones, go live with you. So much love. I'm excited.
Yay. And just quickly clarify, are you still going to be doing your Patreon, your podcast with your daughter?
Yes, for sure. Okay. Sophia and I are so excited. It's like our summer mom and daughter project together. Fine. And yes, we will definitely be talking about like case studies with teens and other things of that nature on there. So I think it's due. I think it's ready. Sophia is such a different teenager than I was. So I'm so excited to chat.
Okay. And when do you have a release date for that yet, or just some summer?
Yes. So this May, my birthday month, we are going to be doing that. It'll be summer break. So check us out May, and I will definitely be having links everywhere. I love you guys.
Oh, awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Farah. I wish you the best. And if people are DMing you on Instagram, do you read your DMs?
I try to catch up with the DMs. There's like a business section, a subscription section, a regular, a restricted. And sometimes I can't keep up with all that, just to be honest. So,
and you're on Cameo too, right?
I love Cameo. I almost feel like Cameo is the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Right.
So yeah, always connect with me on Cameo. And I love supporting everyone on their weddings or just self-help stuff. I freaking love Cameo.
All right. Amazing. All right, Farah, I wish you the best of luck. We'll be in touch.
Yes. So much love. Bye now.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.